Hi, and welcome to Dad FM. I'm Adam Cohn of Dad of Rocks Tonight.
And this is Drew Bennett from BenSpark.com.
And sitting out on the bench tonight is Jeff Bogle from OWTK. He's not feeling so good, so he's a little under the weather. So, Jeff, we hope you feel better. Me and Drew are rocking the show tonight. And we have what we geek out about right now is superheroes and comics. And for most part of the show tonight, we are going to be talking Marvel. Boom, shakalaka. Breaking out of the Marvel Universe. Drew, give us the news.
Yeah, there has been so much news going on this week about Marvel. Today, it was released the third trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron, and it looks amazing.
And this is the first trailer that actually has a very quick glimpse of Vision.
Yes, very, very quick glimpse.
Yeah. 2 frames. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. But this is actually the first time that you actually do see Vision. If you actually hit pause on your little player right there, you'll see him. It is incredible. It is an incredible trailer. I actually love how they're doing these trailers. These are seemingly, they're not giving away the whole movie in the trailers from what I see. Like they're making a nice trailer film out of it, but they're very much using the same pieces of trailer or film that we've seen before, chopped up in a little bit of different ways, maybe extended by a clip or two here or there, but we're not seeing the movie like they have done in prior films. So even though we're up to the third trailer release, I feel like you can watch the trailers without giving away the whole movie, but really get like the, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, definitely not giving away the whole movie, but there was a lot of new footage. There was a lot of new stuff going on there, but definitely not giving away the whole movie. And you look at the way the trailers are cut together. I was thinking back to the Winter Soldier, and some of the ways that the trailer was cut together made me think of something entirely different than when I actually saw the movie. So. Marvel knows what it's doing. They're not giving you the whole trailer, the whole story, and you know, different things can be cut together with different bits of dialogue at different points, so you don't know exactly what the whole movie's about until you see it.
Never know what the movie's about until you see it with Marvel. I think that's the great thing that Marvel does with their movies, is that you don't get it from no scripts really leak. None of the footage really gets out there ahead of time. You really are on your edge of the seat the entire movie to see how it ends. And you kind of hope that no one dies along the way.
Absolutely.
But being a superhero movie, they always come back, right? We always know at the end that the good guys are going to be hopefully still standing. Otherwise, you have a cliffhanger.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form, they'll come back or be okay or pull through or come back in some different form or... all sorts of things.
Now, rolling into the next topic, which is that's not very true of the Marvel TV show, because we watched Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while now, and we've seen the characters come and go very quickly. Some of the characters that I actually kind of started to like this season. So, we just got a new episode the other night, and that starts the last half of this season of Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'd say it kind of changed the landscape of the game for them.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. With the cliffhanger from the mid-season, that change up there. And, there's definitely loss within the television show. Even the first episode of this new season, you had a character come on and, thought that she was going to be around for a bit and, died in the first episode. It's just like, what?
Yeah, they're very good about that. There's no one safe on that show. So I actually really do enjoy pieces of Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you haven't gotten into it, please jump right in and check that out.
I liked how that came back. What other things that are going on? Yeah. Well... if you haven't got enough of Marvel and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you think you can keep your butt awake for 27 hours, there is always the Ultimate Marvel Marathon, which is coming to theaters.
Wait, what is that? 27 hours?
27 hours.
You do realize that someone's going to be wearing adult Depends sitting next to you, peeing themselves while watching 27 hours of movies.
That is a possibility.
Well, I really hope they see it at theaters that offer free popcorn and soda refills, because that is a very long time. So 27 hours, that's like the ultimate Marvel fan ticket, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. I actually haven't checked to see how much the tickets are going on sale. I can imagine they're probably a pretty penny. But you are, you know, you're going through every Marvel movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that has come out so far. So
this the event begins on April 29th, and it's exclusive to AMC and Regal, right? Regal Cinemas, yeah?
Yes.
So it's only at those two places. Oh, wait, maybe not. AMC, Regal, Cinemark, Megaplex, Harkins, and National Amusements, which is kind of all under the same banner, I guess, when you really break it down. But they are offering, starting on April 29th, to start the show at 6 p.m. with Iron Man. At 8:25, you get into Incredible Hulk. At 10:35, you're running into Iron Man 2. At 1 a.m. Sorry, I'm laughing. At 1 a.m., you're jumping into Thor. At 3:10 a.m., Captain America. At 5:30, you're watching The Avengers. At 8:48 a.m., you're watching Iron Man 3. I love how detailed they get the times.
Yeah.
11:15 a.m., you're going back into Thor in the Dark World. At 1:45 p.m., Captain America, Winter Soldier. At 4:20, you're getting Guardians of the Galaxy. And then at 7 p.m., you're getting the screening of Avengers Age of Ultron.
That is one long time to watch movies.
I can't even imagine. I really hope that they get a Dove Men Care or someone to come in and sponsor it and give out deodorants to these people. Crush should come along and give out toothbrushes and paste to everyone. Like, that is 11 movies in one day. The ridiculousness of the stench of nerd body odor. And I will not be there because I am a dad and I love my children too much to disappear for a day. I will definitely be watching all these films leading up to that film, but I will not be disappearing from the home for 26 hours before the movie I actually want to see comes out. But just crazy. That is fandom mania. 27 hours.
That is one crazy thing that you could do.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. So the perk of this is that this begins on April 29th and ends on April 30th. So you're getting the screening of Age of Ultron a day before release, like the day, you know, the few hours before the midnight showings. So that's where the 7 p.m. showing comes in. Some theaters will have a 7 p.m. showing, but some theaters will only start showing Avengers Age of Ultron 7 p.m. as part of this ticket. Otherwise, you have to wait till midnight. Got it. That's interesting.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, there you go. Got it now. There you go. You're taking off a day of work to get it a couple hours early. Well, all I know is I cannot wait. It looks incredible. I am totally psyched about this movie.
I am as well. And one more bit about this movie. Would you like to see it with Robert Downey Jr.?
I think I would. I think me and Robert could be really good friends.
I think I could see you two hanging out.
Maybe for about a quick minute, and then I probably not. In the entire universe of Marvel characters, I don't know if I would get along with Robert. I think he's a good-looking guy that might carry himself as I'm a good-looking guy that's a movie star, as opposed to, say, I don't know, like a Chris Everett or someone like... I kind of feel like, you know, those guys, Chris Pratt, and I think those guys would be more my guys in terms of hanging out in this universe.
Well...
But still, I know there's a lot of people that would love to sit next to, you know, Robert and enjoy this movie.
Yeah, and then you probably could if you win. There's a contest that out there. There's a video from Robert Downey Jr. He's inviting you to the world premiere. There is a contest where if you donate $10 to benefit Julia's House, it's a children's hospice center dedicated to improve the lives of children diagnosed with terminal illness, you could win a chance to have the ultimate movie experience prior to seeing Avengers Age of Ultron. And some of the things that you could do in this experience. is a custom tux fitting or gown fitting, a pit stop at Randy's Donuts and caviar tasting, a helicopter ride over the Hollywood sign,
indoor skydiving.
Oh, yeah, man, indoor skydiving.
This just gets better and better. Imagine getting your tux fitted, then going indoor skydiving like a spy, flying in the helicopter over the Hollywood sign, and then meeting Robert Downey himself for an epic motorcade to the world premiere of Marvel Age of Ultron. That's the red carpet premiere. That's like, yeah, and there will be caviar. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing too, and looks like fun. There's a lot of different levels that you can donate at. Depending on how much you donate, depends on how many entries you get into the contest. Donating $10 gets you 10 entries, gets you started there.
Hey, look, I think, you know, it's all for charity, and we should note that this includes flights in a 4-star hotel, and transportation to all is included. So I really got to say, it's a great charity. We'll have a link up to where you could find it. I think this is a really cool chance for those people that have a little bit of money that they could go and say, let's drop even $10. I think if you're a fan and you play the lottery every once in a while, you might as well play this for the $10 and give it to a good charity that needs the $10.
Absolutely.
So I am sure this will raise easily over $1 million, because I know, and when we're done recording this, I'm donating my $20 because I want 2 $10 entries into this.
Double your chances right off the bat.
Hey, got to be in it to win it.
And exactly.
That's why I keep playing the lottery.
That's why I always say I'm six easy numbers away from telling everybody to go pound salt.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be pounding sand on my private beach when I win $100 million. All right,
well,
so
that's the big one.
That concludes the Marvel Avengers bit of this conference. But we have one other kind of piece, which is
it's more of the Marvel television series, but actually it's not television, it's Marvel's Netflix series. So there's a number of Netflix shows coming for Marvel. There is Daredevil, which is starting soon. That's going to be in April.
Which is almost through production at this point. They are almost wrapped on New York City streets, from what I understand from my friends at Netflix.
Nice. And have you ever happened by any of the production?
I actually haven't. I actually know where they film, because I kind of follow that in those New York City blogs about where they're filming. So I do know where they film. Like, they filmed over in Red Hook, Brooklyn. They filmed a little bit in Hell's Kitchen. They filmed a little bit in Lower Manhattan down by me, by the courts. So, yeah, I definitely know where they film. I've never gone to the set. In New York City, you have a life, and you know that TV production, they have a job. And so unless they're literally filming on my block like they were for Persons of Interest last week, I don't really try to happen onto movie sets, because no one's discovering you. You're not going to get time with the celebrity. They're there to work. They're there to do their thing. And it's a very professional environment, and they have plenty of security to make sure it stays a professional environment. But it's awesome that they shoot in New York. I think it really way better that they shoot in New York than going to London or going to Toronto. So I really hope that we see more production in New York City.
Yeah, not Toronto, but a quick little aside on that. I was out in Vancouver when they were filming the first Fantastic Four, and they were trying to pass off one of the bridges there as a bridge in New York. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm watching that on the screen. I'm like, oh, no.
Right. That's not cutting it as the Brooklyn Bridge. No.
Right, exactly. Having been to both places, I'm just, you can't pass that off as the Brooklyn Bridge. But anyway, go off back, the
back,
tangent.
Back to this Luke Cage.
Yeah, Luke Cage. That's one of the other... that's one of the other shows for Netflix. Netflix is gearing up. Let's see. Well, there's Daredevil. There's also AKA Jessica Jones. Then there's also The Defenders, and there's Netflix's Luke Cage. So each one of those new series are going to be on Netflix. I'm just reading about Luke Cage here. The main actor for, well, the actor who's going to play Luke Cage is Mike Coulter. You might know him from The Good Wife and a number of other shows, but Luke Cage is going to end up being in at least three of those different shows. So he's going to be on AKA Jessica Jones. He's going to be on The Defenders as well as Luke Cage. Didn't see him anywhere for Daredevil. He's really not a character that is in the Daredevil series. But, you know, you're going to see him in at least 39 episodes, because I think each one of these is going to be like 13 episodes, you know, to start off with.
Well, I think he's a crossover character in each of these shows, but I don't know if he's going to be in full sets outside of his own series. I think he might be one of these characters that kind of plays in and plays out very much.
Gotcha.
I see someone, some other TV shows from another comic book company, but I think it's going to be great. I think, you know, it's a great character, Luke Cage, and can't wait to see who they actually get casting. A lot of the rumors right now are around Mike Coulter, and I think he would be excellent to play the role. And look, I think it's awesome. I think it's really great that we're going to sit here and see Netflix really take off with these superhero shows and do what WB has done so well for years with their superhero shows.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I believe he is the... Well, it's been announced that Luke Cage, just seeing that how many episodes he's going to be in, just looking at IMDb for the character of Luke Cage, whether or not that's going to be Mike Coulter. But it's listed on his IMDb, so hopefully it'll be him. Looks like he playing in those different shows, he'd be a good character. So other things that I'm seeing too is some more details coming out about Daredevil, possibly involving some characters like the Owl, Gladiator, some other characters as well. Did you get to see Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin picture?
I did. He looks great. Great, yeah. Actor. Truly New York. You know, he did his stint on the cop show recently. You know, when he was in Law and Order, so he understands the New York realism. He lives in New York, I do believe. I think he lives in Brooklyn, if memory serves me correctly. So he does get the city. He's got that good grit to him, and he could play a little bit of that crazy psycho guy that you really need in the Kingpin. Because remember, the Kingpin is all cool, but when you ruffle his feathers, he gets a little angry.
Yep.
That was my best New Yorker impression, if you couldn't tell.
And the only other thing I'm seeing there is, you know, rumors continue to pop up about Spider-Man. We did a whole episode there about Spider-Man coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so we're seeing some more things going on about that. There's a reported rumor that Drew Goddard will write and direct the next standalone Spider-Man movie, and it's to be called Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So there's so many Spider-Man titles out there that, you know, you could just keep picking all sorts of different things.
So maybe your friendly Dada Rocks was in an elevator last night with the top brass of Sony, overhearing things I probably shouldn't be overhearing. But I might be betting on the fact that we might see a different kind of Spider-Man this go around.
Okay.
I think that some of these rumors talking about that it might not be a Peter Parker Spider-Man might actually be true based on what some of the people were talking about in that elevator. So that is complete rumor. I am not, you know, I was in an elevator. I overheard something. I don't know if that's going to be true or not. I do know the people that were saying it are very top of heads of studio, but you know, I think what I was hearing was something talking about the lines of, it might not be Peter. So, I find that fascinating.
Well, that's been a lot of speculation that people have been talking about online. I mean, and as people do, I mean, especially you get comic book geeks talking about things, that there's going to be speculation of different options. And that's been a prevailing one that people have been talking about, is that it's going to be a not a Peter Parker Spider-Man.
The way I was hearing this conversation go down in this elevator, I'm starting to bet money now. If you want to take $20 from me, I'll bet one person $20 that it probably is not going to be a Peter Parker. And at least I really don't believe it's going to be a Caucasian Peter Parker this go around. I think that's going to be very definitive very quickly. And I also think when you start looking at where these leaks of the Spider-Man movie are starting to come out of, they're coming out of one major website that's called Latino Review. They are seemingly getting the leaks quickly and at first dibs, and then you know, other people are getting their second sources and validating that claim. But I do think there's something going on where we might not see a Caucasian Peter Parker as the lead Spider-Man character this go around.
Right, and looking at another rumor there from Latino Review, is that the possibility that it might be Spider-Man versus possibly Iron Man as the main antagonist. So it's still rumor there, but that is a rumor along lines with Latino Review.
As a gentleman I met last night at the Netflix party would say, that is pretty, pretty, pretty interesting. As I had to excuse Larry David to reach around and grab a pretzel last night. So, quite a party.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it. I saw your photo there with Kyle Chandler. So, you made your wife happy.
Oh, yeah. Man, let me tell you something. Talk about a cool cat. Because he grabbed a camera that he never held in his life, I don't think. And he got a selfie, one shot, and done. And it actually turned out to be a great photo of the three of us. And really, couldn't have been nicer in the couple of seconds, minutes that we had to talk. And then he was into the party, and so were we. And so I really can't say enough. And that was the party for Netflix's original Bloodline. Which is about a family and very not Marvel related, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but it was a very cool party that had lots of figureheads around it. So it just really cool to be there, and I can't thank Netflix enough. And why I kind of love these Netflix series, that they're coming out with great content and they do a great job with the content that they have. All right. So, anything else on the Marvel front? Because there's just a little bit of DC stuff that we should cover real quickly.
No, nothing else. I mean, there's always other things, but no, let's talk DC.
Okay, let's talk DC real quick. So we're rolling down with the last few episodes of the first season of The Flash. And I got to tell you, for my money, The Flash has been an entirely epic, comic book hero TV show. I think they did a great job of really fleshing out the character, showing a protagonist, introducing the characters. So I really think they gave what a great freshman season for The Flash. So that's kind of winding down in these next few weeks. We also now know that they have started production on Supergirl, which is going to be on the CBS network, which is not the WB, which I'm actually a little surprised about that CBS got Supergirl. But we do know that the original Supergirl is actually back in this Supergirl movie in a different role. Clearly not Supergirl, since she's a little bit older now. I think this is like Supergirl's adopted mother. So I'm very psyched about that. And from what the rumors are talking about is that this CBS series plays in the same timeline as in the same universe that we see the Arrow and the Flash in. So there is some ability that they might cross over at some given point in the future.
I wouldn't put that option out of the realm of possibility. I think that, who knows, it could happen. Another alum to the Superman, mythos actor, Dean Cain, was announced there for the Supergirl.
Yeah. He's playing the adopted dad, I thought I saw. Is that
true? Okay. I'm not sure exactly who he's playing, but I did see, Helen Slater and Dean Cain, so I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dean Cain actually and Helen Slater both were on in roles in Smallville as well.
So. Yes, they were. I will say the great thing about the DC universe of the great movies from the 80s is that somehow that they've been able to integrate them into the small screen in different roles and different ways of like little flares for the super fans to come back and see.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The other really cool DC show on right now is Gotham, And so we are quickly winding down the episodes. I think there's only two or three left at this point for this season. And I gotta say, a great show again. You know, very different than The Flash. Gotham is very dark. This is a show that you know ends badly, because the idea of this show is that you're watching, you know, Jim Gordon become from a detective, you know, kind of working his way through the ranks, dealing with the crud of the city. But you understand very quickly, you're watching a city that is imploding on itself. And they've made that very clear the whole way through, that this isn't going to be the rescue, because, you know, the end is that you have these giant supervillains with Batman. So you know that it gets way worse before it gets better, but you're watching this spiral of this one man go through his actions to try to save this city and try to do right and bring right back to the police force, to the neighbors. So, you know, I find there's lots of great references in this. Right now, the commissioner in the show is called Commissioner Loeb, which is an homage to one of the creators of Batman.
Nice.
You got that, right? Like,
yeah. Okay. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so I think that this is a great series. I think it's really awesome. If you haven't jumped into Gotham, please do. It's really worthy of the binge watch. I think that kind of wraps up what's going on in the WB land. Lastly, in terms of superhero-ness, I don't know about you, Drew, but I was a huge Dragon Ball Z fan back in college. I don't know what it was about the animation, about the storytelling, but when I was 19 and 20, I loved Dragon Ball Z. I thought, like, you know, it really fit that, you know, that gaping hole, because there wasn't a Warner Brothers animated movie that came out that was really, you know, dark. Like the new Warner Brothers movies that are coming out, like showing people dying and losing heroes' hands. Those are really great movies of animated quality, animated movies. But, you know, back then, it was very, you know, very animated stuff that looked like Batman the Animated Series and X-Men the Animated Series, where it wasn't bloody. It wasn't, you know, people would just lay down and then somehow mysteriously get back up, or the camera would pan away and they never paid attention to the people that were unconscious or you know, shot in X-Men. But in Dragon Ball Z, it was always a fight, and I really loved it. And so there's a new trailer for the new movie that's coming out called Dragon Ball Z Resurrection of F, which we know is the resurrection of Freezer. And Freezer was one of the protagonists before the Dragon Ball Z series kind of concluded, and so somehow he is resurrected in this new animated movie. So I will say that after the last Dragon Ball Z movie, I really am skeptical about how good this one could be, but I really have high hopes for every Dragon Ball Z movie, because there is an element there that could be so cool. No, cool. not a Dragon Ball.
I'm not a Dragon Ball.
Ah, see,
not at all. It's funny because this past week at work, I was talking with a guy, and he was going on about how much Dragon Ball Z was awesome, and you know, he's like, if so and so had all the Dragon Balls, could he defeat Superman? And I'm just like, what are you talking about? Because that just never interested me at all.
I don't sorry know. You know, like that goes back to could Captain Marvel, Shazam, beat Superman? And it goes back to that Superman's born with powers, but he's got problems when he goes against magic, right? That's kind of Superman's weakness, is magic. It always has been. All right, so I think we did a great job of, you know, talking about the superhero stuff. I don't know. I'm totally psyched. This is a little bit of a longer podcast just for me and you. It's now, we're clocking in at 30 minutes here. So I really want to thank everyone for sticking with us. I hope, you know, any comments you have, any feedback you have, send it in at DadFM on Twitter, DadFM on Facebook, DadFM, that's our website, just www.dad.fm. Two letters, three letters before that, DadFM. So thanks for being with us. Once again, I'm Adam from @dadarocks.com.
And it's Drew Bennett from benspark.com.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.